Welcome to today's conversation about life and social change in Central Asia. My name is Bermet Talant. I'm a journalist from Kyrgyzstan, and this conversation is hosted by Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. The cost of living is on the rise in Central Asia, just like it is around the world. COVID lockdowns, severe droughts, supply problems caused by the pandemic, and most recently the war in Ukraine, all have been contributing factors. For several months now, there have been reports of shortages and increased prices on food staples such as flour, rice, cooking oil, sugar, and in some parts, carrots and onions. And it's not only food that is getting expensive, so are fuel, electricity, gas, and everything else. This inflation, of course, hits the most vulnerable in what are already lower middle income, remittance, and import-dependent economies. In Uzbekistan, for instance, where the government calculates the so-called Plov index to measure the cost of living, the average price of a portion of this traditional dish in Tashkent has gone up by almost 70%, or a dollar, since December 2019, which sounds like a lot given that the average salary in the country is roughly $300. Today, I'm talking with Muslim Buriyev, an independent researcher and resident of Dushanbe, and Sumsarbek Mamaraliyev, a restaurant owner in Bishkek, about how inflation is affecting them and their fellow citizens. If you live in one of the Central Asian countries, we'd love to hear from you about how price rises have impacted your daily life. Press request in your Twitter mobile app to speak up, and we'll bring you in. And if you have a question, you can send a direct message to @RFRL or reply to a tweet pinned in this space. I can see that one of our speakers hasn't joined yet. So, Sumsarbek, I think we're going to start with you.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can hear you very well. So how are you doing, Sumsarbek, as an owner of two restaurants in Bishkek, especially after COVID lockdowns?
Well, where should I start? I'm used to be a businessman, or now it's not about business. It's about surviving, just keeping the business alive. Mm-hmm. The prices has increased by... for some ingredients, because Kyrgyzstan, we pretty much 99% of everything that we use, we import from overseas.
Hello.
Ukraine. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you just cut off for a second.
Oh, sorry. So first it was a COVID 3 years ago, and now because of the... war in Ukraine, because Kyrgyzstan gets most of the ingredients that comes from Europe, they used to come through Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's impossible. So now, for the past 4 or 5 months, we've been trying to get most of the ingredients, something like shrimps or salmon, from, for instance, from Norway through Georgia and Kazakhstan. So we haven't succeeded yet, but the prices went up by almost 3 times. And me, as the owner of two Thai restaurants, that's quite crucial ingredients.
So, how are you dealing with that? Did you have to raise prices?
Yes, just recently, yesterday, we raised our prices. Third time in the past 2 years by what 20 some.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the minimum, because you can only raise the prices to a certain point. After that, it will be just pointless.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the margin from 35% went down to 17 for some our dishes. It's as low as 10% right now. So right now we're just keeping our finger crossed and hoping for a good summer season, that people will drink some hot drinks, cold drinks, lemonades, and it somehow will balance it out the margin.
Mm-hmm. Have your other business costs increased, like salaries that you pay to your staff or rent?
No, it hasn't. I'm in one of my restaurants is I'm renting out the premises. Second one, it's a mortgage, and I'm still paying the mortgage. I'm still paying my three of my credits, and what else? The salary of my staff has not decreased overall during the quarantine. For 4 months we didn't work. I still paid the salary for my staff.
Is there anything that you buy, some ingredients, they got really expensive, or something that you're replacing?
No, we didn't replace anything. If we cannot find any ingredients, we just don't sell this dish. Because, I mean, it's a Thai cuisine. Mm-hmm. I cannot replace anything. And we don't grow anything. For instance, the ginger, I would tell you, from 180 som per kilo, it went up as high as 2,700 som. The chili, bird's eye chili pepper, from 35 som per kilo, it went up as high as 1,100 som.
Wow.
The ordinary egg, just chicken eggs, it used to be 4 som per piece, and now it's 11. So it's almost tripled. What else? The meat is very expensive. The only thing that didn't increase the price, it's, I think, the flour. Mm-hmm. But the quality of the flour, because we used to use flour from Ukraine, and it used to be the best flour that, I mean, you can get, apart from Italian flour, but which is 5 times more expensive. But now we don't have it on the market at all. Plus, on the top of everything, the war, the closed borders, Kazakhstan kept their borders closed for how long? Almost 3 years to us. Now it's been 3 years since there is no direct flight from Bishkek to Thailand, which used to be very handy. We used to have once a week a direct flight, and I could get ingredients directly from Thailand. I cannot do that anymore. What else? Yeah. And oh. Plus, recently, 5 months ago, the tax payment went up.
And by how much? Significantly?
Yes, quite almost doubled. For example, the VAT tax, small enterprises didn't pay the VAT tax if your sales annually was lower than 12 million. Now they took that away. Everyone, even if your annual sales, like, I don't know, 500 som, you will still have to pay 12% VAT tax from gross sale, not from the net profit.
Well, that sounds like a lot of challenges. Are you not discouraged to run this business?
To be discouraged, it's a privilege. I have a family. I have 48 employees. Who are your family? They are dependent on every your decision. It's not just my business. All of them, almost 99% of my staff, it's a single mother who are less privileged than I am. Even if I don't work tomorrow, I have a roof over my head. I don't need to pay rent. You know, I will survive. But that was the main issue during the quarantine when I told them that, guys, for 2 months, we cannot work. What you gonna do? They I'm still gonna go and try and find some job because, for instance, they get paid like, let's say, $25 a day. And $10 out of this 25 goes for a daily payment for the room that they rent with 3 kids. And it's not a flat, it's just a room with a shared bathroom with 20 other families. And they cannot afford not to work. And the COVID and all this it was just something for them, something out of this world, which they never thought about it. So I've made a decision. I took a credit, and for 4 months I was paying my staff, which is fine. I think that's what every employee should do.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Given that you have so many financial responsibilities in your personal life, did you have to cut out any things that you can't afford anymore, or maybe that have become a bit too expensive?
I was never a big spender. I don't have a personal life. My life is my work. I'm here 24/7. I haven't been Bermet. Ask me. I haven't been to Issyk-Kul, and I'm from Kyrgyzstan. I have a house on the lake. I haven't been there since 2015.
Is that business?
I don't have time. Yes. Business is my personal life.
Okay, thank you, Samsarbek. We are going to bring in our second speaker, Muslim Buriyev, who's joining us from Dushanbe. Hello, Muslim.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Radio 3U and Bermet, for inviting me to join this event today. So I would like to say that we in Tajikistan are living in a constant condition of rising prices for about the last 5 years, I would say. So, and every year it's like the prices for food, for some essential vegetables,
Muslim.
Meat.
I'm sorry, Muslim. Muslim, sorry. Yeah. I'm going to interrupt you. Samsarbek, can you turn off your mic, please? Thank you. Yes.
I think he already did, yeah.
Yes, no, yes, no thank problem. You. So sorry, tell us about how prices have gone up in Tajikistan.
So, where was I? So I was saying that annually the prices for food are like fluctuating and rising maybe up to 5%, 5 to 10%, I would say. But recently with the developments, I mean, war in Ukraine and sanctions against Russia, the prices for some particular products have gone skyrocketed, and for example, some prices for flour have grown up to 30%. So if maybe in the beginning of the year you could buy a 50 kilogram pack, and we usually buy flour in such amounts in order to save some money, so we could buy it for $28 in the beginning of the year, in the beginning of 2022. But now we have to buy it for $35. And just a small remark, an average income in Tajikistan is accounted for approximately $150 per month. So it's quite substantial amount. I mean, I'm talking about the prices for flour in particular. So it hits the family budget very hard, especially if the prices are rising for that particular product. Yeah.
Yes. And the bread is, this is not just a must have on the table in our culture, right? For many poor families, bread and tea is often a meal, right?
Yeah. And we cannot like refuse from buying it every day. We have to do this because it's like the I would say the bread is a basic food that every Tajik family has to have in the morning, during the dinner time and lunch and etc. So it's just a must have for everyone. So we just have to cope with that and simply spend more money on that. We cannot buy less because we just have to eat it. Yeah, this works like that in Tajikistan in particular. Yeah,
just for our listeners who are not familiar, what happened? Tajikistan imports over 90% of its wheat from Kazakhstan, and in March when Russia banned exports of sugar and grains to fellow members of the Eurasian Economic Union, including Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan was forced to limit its own exports of wheat and flour, which basically became a really bad news for Tajikistan as well as Uzbekistan.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what has happened. And also, thanks that you mentioned sugar. Also, Pakistan did like the same thing as Kazakhstan recently. They banned exporting their sugar to other countries, and the Pakistan was there like the key provider of sugar to Tajikistan, and it resulted in also in increasing the prices for sugar. And for example, just to mention one of my neighbors, he has like two kids. He lives with his parents. He's basically providing for his family, but for his extended family as well. So he told me that he decided to just refuse to buy sugar at all. So he's not using sugar these days because it just happened to be unbearable in terms of his budget to spend money on sugar these days. It's quite depressed. I was quite depressed to hear it from him. But for me personally, it's not a big problem because I don't use sugar at all. But for some families, of course, some like people try to replace it with some sweets. I mean, instead of sugar or honey or some other sweet products, you can replace the sugar with. So yeah, exactly. You can speak now. Yeah.
Yeah. So how has this inflation affected you personally?
Me personally. So there's a place there's a small restaurant near the place where I work, and I used to go for lunches there during the lunch break. But now decided not to go there because the prices for the business lunches has increased about 25%. Yeah, and some of the items that were included in the in the business lunches lists, they were removed because the businesses cannot afford it. It's also what's quite terrible for me because it was very not so far from the place that I work, and I didn't spend very much time on lunch breaks just to go to the nearest place, but now I have to maybe order some delivery, which also was impacted because of the sanctions against Russia. So the prices for food delivery has like doubled since the war began in Ukraine. So I just found myself in a position, in a very harsh position, of course, relatively. Yeah.
Do you have to cook at home more?
Yeah. Sometimes I take food to work and eat on my working place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you had to cut out because it's gotten more expensive? Not only food, but maybe services?
Yeah. I started to use taxi less often, and I'm using the public transport instead because the prices for for gasoline is also increasing due to this whole situation. And now the prices for taxi is also like increasing proportionally to that. So now I am taking like two buses to get to work, but it's cheaper, of course it's cheaper, yeah, but maybe it takes more time to get. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick reminder that if you'd like to ask a question or you want to share your experience, you can indicate that you want to speak by pressing the button in Twitter Spaces on your mobile app, or you can send a direct message to @RFURL or reply to a tweet pinned in this space. Sumsarbek, we just heard from Muslim that it has become too expensive for him to eat out and order takeouts. As a restaurant owner, how does it make you feel?
It makes me feel sad, of course. Well, I can tell you that we have this, how do you say, people started to eat less and drink less, especially alcohol. As you know, that 50% of the margin comes from selling the beverage, drinks. And now we used to sell a lot of expensive alcohol cocktails. Now it's just the tap beer and yeah, less of that.
So do you see that people are going to restaurants less in this case?
They're going to restaurant less, and as you know, we have this tradition doing a sharing. It's like a gathering of families, companies, and we used to have that almost every day. People were tables were booked, and now the restaurant are 50-70% booked only on the weekend. And the weekdays, so we're trying to now. For instance, my second floor, I rent out to a companies, to a corporates, to international organizations, to conduct some, I don't know, any different events. If they doing master classes, training, or conferences. Now we expanded what we do. If before I used to be only like a restaurant, now in order to survive, we are doing catering. We are participating in all different festivals, food festivals, to somehow like keep the business alive.
I see. Muslim, has the government been doing anything to relieve the pressure on the population? Like in some other countries, we've seen some subsidies for staple foods. Is there anything like that in Tajikistan?
Yeah, I would just to support some Sobek's point about the people starting to eat less. Just I say that today I did not have lunch. I just wait for the time when I come back home and eat there. Just, you know, just to support his argument. So regarding the government measures. So in the beginning, when the exchange rate for the US dollar started to increase, it started to reach very high points. About so the one US dollar was about 13 so many. It was a very big increase, very substantial, about maybe almost 30%, yeah, almost. So the US dollar became almost 30% more expensive in Tajikistan. But then the banks decided to, the central bank decided to stabilize the situation somehow. So they started to give out some money less. So you can just find the some money in your bank, or just could cash out about 1,000 somani, which is approximately $100 just per one transaction. And it was quite quite uncomfortable for some, quite inconvenient for some people. I mean, if you go to the bank, you would like, you usually take very big amounts of money, which is according to your limit, of course. But when you get your money from the ATM for about $100 in so many, just for one transaction, it's quite inconvenient for the people. And by that, they actually stabilized the course. They managed to decrease the exchange rate of US dollars. So now it's it came back to the rate that was before the war started in Ukraine. So now it's 11.3 somani for $1. So it's just, it's increased very rapidly, and they managed to decrease it by such measures that I just mentioned. Yeah.
We have a listener who wants to join with a question, I believe. It's Jen Murtazashvili. Hello, Jen. Can you turn your mic on, please?
Hello.
Connected.
Okay, thank you. This is a wonderful discussion, and I'm so glad we're talking about these economic issues that are so important to so many people. And I'm wondering, you know, from the speakers, if you could say a little bit about how people attribute blame for this crisis. It's going to look different, I think, in different places and even different communities. who's responsible, and then what should be done to fix it. Of course, this is a policy issue, but people on the ground have their own sense of what can be done to solve these issues. So I'm just really curious to understand, is Russia to blame? Is something else to blame? How is the information environment affecting how people are attributing blame for this situation? Because, we're seeing in so many other places in the world how these increasing food prices are sparking protests and real insecurity. So I was wondering if the speakers can say something about that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great question. Muslim Sumsarbek, who wants to go first?
Hi. Can you, Bermet, just remind me the question? As far as I understood, Jen, she's asking the people on the ground, like, I don't know, my employees.
Who do people, just people in Kyrgyzstan, when they see increased prices, who do they blame? Do they blame Russia? Do they blame the local government or anything else? Well, and what do they think should be done?
It depends who you, I guess it depends if who you ask. If you ask people from remote areas, less privileged citizens, they will blame the West, I guess. because, the Russian propaganda works very well with brainwashing. If you ask me, you cannot blame Russia for the COVID, of course, but for the increasing the rate of the US dollars and what else? The other issues, the war. I blame Putin, of course. Because the situation has just became worse, and now I don't know what else can it make the situation even more worse. Because especially because of the US dollars has increased, and now it went back again, but the prices didn't it decreased, and we purchase everything, we use dollars. Nobody, even the local business, for instance, I pay my rent in US dollars. Nobody will accept the local currency.
Thank you, Muslim.
Thank you, Jen, for such questions. So I would say that in general, people are, I would say, even not connecting the situation with prices with the sanctions imposed against Russia. So as just I said before, so the prices are keep increasing from 1 year to another. So people kind of used to increased prices. Of course, they're expressing their objections about such a situation. And usually they blame business, they blame merchants, they blame traders on the bazaars, because they are not trying to look deeper into the details about maybe about the war in Ukraine, or about the sanctions, about the actions of Russia against Ukraine in general. So they're just seeing the prices are getting high, and they're blaming the person who has put this price on this product, just in that place that they're looking at right now. So I would say they're not taking full scrutiny about why the prices are getting increased and who to blame in a general perspective, I would say.
Mm-hmm. In some countries around the world, there have been protests over price increases. Do you think protests might break out in Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan if the inflation continues at the current rate?
Hi. Some survey here. Yes, it has. We have already had, I think, at least five protests in Talas just a few days ago, in Bishkek, in one of the biggest open air markets, Dordoy. There have been protests for the past 3 months because of the increase of the tax, the VAT tax, and they combined VAT, sales tax, and another tax, profit tax, into one tax. And like now it's 8% out of a gross sale. You have to pay no matter if you made any profit, you still have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Muslim, so, yeah. Do you have any thoughts?
Can you please remind your point again?
Yeah, so in many countries, rising prices have led to protests. Do you think that some protests might break out in Tajikistan if the inflation continues at the current rate?
I think I would say no, there will be no protests. But I would mention that previously, in recent years and for about recent 10 years, I would say, I may be mistaken at that point, but people usually blame the traders, those who are trading with the product, who are selling the products on the markets, on the bazaars, and they express their opinions on the social media and the state institutions, so the government sees what is happening. And they react to that, and also it comes from the state's perspective. There is this perspective of our government to make all people save their money, to spend less. It's like the rhetoric of poverty, I would like to call it like that. So they and within this perspective, they go to the bazaars. I mean, I'm talking now about the government representatives or the municipal officers and so on. And they go to the bazaars and they find those sellers who put increased prices on the products. It all began during Ramadan, people start to increase their prices like artificially in order to increase the demand because of increasing demand. But the government decided to do the same thing during this crisis as well. So people are not protesting against anything in our country, I would say, in general, but governments still react to such things as increasing prices, but only on the low levels, only on the level of independent merchants and so on. So now, just coming back to your previous question about what government is doing to mitigate such crisis in terms of the expense, in terms of the costs, they just try to do this thing and not do anything to change the situation in the whole. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So today we had Sumsarbek Mamurali, the restaurant owner from Bishkek, and Muslim Buriyev, who is an independent researcher who lives in Dushanbe. Thanks to our guests and to our listeners for joining this Twitter space today and to RFERL for hosting it. And if you have any feedback or suggestions for topics, you can DM me or at RFERL. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting again. Yep.